Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you are present here amongst us. Where two or three gather in your name, you are there in the midst of us. And Father, I just thank you that tonight revelation knowledge will flow from my spirit to my understanding. I thank you, Lord, that the fire of your spirit is upon me and within me. And as I speak your word, Lord, that your word burns into each heart and brings revelation. But not only revelation, Lord, brings action. For faith is a doing word. Faith is a going word. And I thank you, Lord, that your word sets us free tonight. Free to do the will of God. Free so that we are not in bondage anymore. Everything that holds us back from doing your will fall off tonight. And we thank you for that. Father, we just thank you that no spirit shall hinder the going forth of your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word shall go forth into fruitful soil, into the soil of our hearts tonight, and it will bear much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, I have an interesting topic to talk about. The Lord's been dealing with us for many years about this, and we are actually starting to get into this thing now, because the Lord has matured us. He's taken us through certain things. And the wisdom that we have is from our own spiritual parents and people that have mentored us, but also from personal experience and from what the Lord has imparted to us via His Word and through His Spirit. It's a burning issue at the moment. I'm sure if I tell you what I'm going to talk about now, you will all be able to identify with it. Now, the title of tonight, the message that the Lord has given me, is Conquering the Power of Debt, Money, Filthy Lucre, Geld, Mali. All right. Okay. Is there anybody here that can live in this world without that, without money? Is there anybody here? Because then I'd love to learn from you. Is there anybody here? Nobody. Okay. Is there anybody here that needs more money? Oh, she's the silent millionaire over there. See, everybody stuck their hands up and said they need more money. Why do you need more money? That's a very good answer. Very good answer. I'm sure that all of us here actually want to bless God's kingdom more than what we are. Yes, we want our own needs met, but I'm sure that we will go without certain things to be able to bless God's kingdom. But God didn't say go without things to bless my kingdom. God said that you will have sufficient supply to meet your own needs. And even more than what you need for yourself, you can bless the kingdom of God. God wants to make us all conduits. You know what a conduit is? A channel, a pipe. It's like a pipe. A pipe is a conduit. A hose pipe is a conduit for the water. It takes the water from the tap to the end of the hose, and then what can you do with it? You can spray the garden, wash the car, fill up the swimming pool, whatever it is, okay? God wants to make you a conduit. He wants to make you a vessel that can bring prosperity into the world. Now, I heard a good example one day. Maybe you know, all know Theo Womerance's brother, Henry Womerance. And he was speaking on finances, and he said one day he was driving, and he got home, and he decided to wash a car, I think. I can't remember the story exactly. He opened the boot, and there was a piece of hose pipe which he had taken about 6 months before that, and he went without petrol. His car stopped, and so he needed to transfer petrol from a petrol can into his tank, and he used this piece of hose pipe. And so he took the hose pipe, and he sniffed at the one end of the hose pipe, and guess what he smelled? Now, this was a six-month-old hose pipe that was used for petrol. What did he smell? Petrol. So God said to him, that's what I want to do with my children in the kingdom. That little bit of smell that is left in the pipe is sufficient to carry you for 6 months, or that pipe. It still was in the pipe. And God wants to pass millions through our hands, if He can trust us, obviously. And that little smell that's left in there will be sufficient to meet your own needs. But there's not one in this room, I don't think, that's in that position. I don't think there's anybody like that yet. That you don't have a financial care, and you just can give and give and give, and there's no worries. If God said to you, go to Singapore, you just climb on the airplane tomorrow, you buy the ticket, and there you go. No, I don't think there's anybody who can do that. We're getting there. Anika and I are getting there. Yeah. Yeah, we call those things which are not as though they are. Amen. And, okay, conquering the power of debt. Now, debt is the thing that holds us back from prospering properly. Is there anybody here that owes money to somebody? Anybody? I mean, you're paying a car off, or you're paying a bond off, or something. Everybody here. Okay. Yeah, we are also, at the moment, because we backslid for a little while. We cleared our debt. We did clear our debt, and what happens when you're not exercising your faith? You see, we got free of debt, and what did we do? So we relaxed our faith. And before we could wipe our eyes out, we were in debt. Again, you see, you're supposed to exercise your faith continually for greater and bigger things. That's what you're supposed to do. So we've learned another lesson. So we're not 100% there yet, but we're basically debt-free. And another 2 months, that debt will be clear again. So we would have been in debt for how long now? Total of 5 months about. Yeah, so before that we were debt-free. So for 5 months we've had a little bit of debt. So we're not perfect, but it can be attained. Even with a house bond, instead of paying 20 years or something, you can pay that bond off in 4 or 5 years, if you know how to do that. Now, we don't have time to discuss that. And you can come and talk to us afterwards or whatever. We can counsel with you. And there are ways that you can actually do that. You can kill your debt. You can kill your debt in a short time. Amazingly. All right. Deuteronomy 8:18 says what? Anybody here want to hazard a guess? Yes. The Lord says there that we must remember that it is He that gives us the power to get wealth. Do you want to read it for us? Deuteronomy 8:18.
But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day.
He gives us the what to get wealth? The power. Did you know that? How many of us are walking in that? Now, I don't want you to get under condemnation tonight because of your debt. Because you're finding things out tonight. You might not know that it's wrong to be in debt. Oh, Brother Ian. But you don't know how to avoid the debt. That's the problem. Why don't we know how to avoid the debt? Because we don't know how to live in God's prosperity principles. Now, what I'm teaching tonight needs about 4 or 5 sessions. We need a whole week, you know, every night to be able to do this. But we'll try tonight to see how far we can get. Just want to get another scripture. Deuteronomy 28 verse 12. If you look at Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, it says something there. Anybody? No, they haven't got their Bibles, all of you. It says, if you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, being watchful to do all His commandments. And in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you. You see, if you do what God says, then these blessings will come. And then He records all the blessings for the rest of the chapter. Verse 11, it says, and the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity. Anybody here that has that surplus of prosperity? Well, after tonight, we're going to pray tonight, I tell you. And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, of your livestock, and of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Verse 12, the Lord shall open to you His good treasury. What's in God's treasury? It's not only money. The gifts of the Spirit. Healing anointing. Anything. The prophetic flow that is here tonight. Where does it come from? From God's treasury. Okay? But there's lots of finances in God's treasury. Is God poor? No, He's not poor. How valuable is gold to God? It's not very valuable to God because they pave the streets with it over there, so people walk on it. So it's not very valuable. Okay? So you can imagine how valuable whatever else they've got there is. But gold is nothing. And over here on the earth, what do men do? They sell their souls for gold. Okay? The Lord shall open to His good treasury the heavens to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not what? You shall not borrow. There's the first one. You shall not borrow, but you shall lend. Is there anybody that's lending here? Is there anybody that works in a bank here? Banks. You're working in a bank. Oh, so that's right. So they're working with the money there. So what do banks do? Do they just give money away? No. The bank takes their money, they give it to you, and then they tell you to pay them for their money. And what does that do to the economy of the country and of the world? It weakens it all the time and all the time, and prices just keep on going up and up and up and up and up. Why? Because there's only so much gold. Okay, let's get into that system a little bit. Before I do that, Romans 13 verse 7 and 8 says what? Anybody try? Okay, it says, I'm going to paraphrase it quickly. It says, pay to everybody their dues. That's in verse 7. And verse 8 says, owe no man anything but to love them. Okay? Proverbs 11 verse 15 says that the servant, that the borrower is the servant of the lender. In other words, all those people that come and sign those pieces of paper and say, yes, we're going to have an overdraft for 10,000 rand, and then they sign on the dotted line. What are they to the bank? They're servants. Now, what does it mean to serve somebody? They're doing that to the bank. They don't even know who the people in the bank. They meet the person on Saturday morning and say, well, I need an overdraft, and they check you out there, see if you've got enough what? Collateral. Yeah. So that they can do what with it if you don't pay? So that they can sell it for nothing. And barely make it. It's true. Because the banks, the world system declares what the value is of a thing. The world says this house here is probably worth 300,000 rand or something. But when they decide that it's time to pay off your overdraft, then when they do the auction, how much will the house be worth? 80,000 rand. True. I know, I have contacts in that business. I've seen houses that are worth 300,000-400,000 rand go for 80,000, 100,000, 110,000. That's how these guys that they speculate with houses. That's how they make their money. It's true. I'm making the banks look bad, eh? If you know how to use a bank, you can make money out of it. Okay. Money is actually the lowest form of prosperity. Did you know that? Spiritual prosperity is the prime. And then to be in your emotions, to be whole in your emotions and in your mind and in your thinking. And your physical body. Because Harry Oppenheimer, if he's sick and they can take him to any hospital, he can pay millions, he might not get healed. His money is worth nothing. But God can heal him. And then relationships. I'd rather have a happy household, happy children, and live in a in a house where it doesn't get wet inside when it rains, and know that the tummies are full and we sleep warm and my car gets me from point A to B. I'd rather have that than be unhappy, fight with my wife, the kids are on drugs and everything like that, and I'm a multimillionaire. Who would agree with that? True, yes. But the world's got their priorities back to front. Okay. God's been saying for the past 3 years, He's been speaking definitely to us and to the body of Christ, and you probably have heard that He's saying that He's going to pour out finances on South Africa. But we've just heard that. Has anybody actually experienced some of that? We've started experiencing some of that because we've taken the Word of God and we've waged the warfare with it. So it's starting to open up. God is starting to open up things because we've got places to go. America is open for us. Europe is open for us. Australia is open, is opening at this point in time. I don't know how because I haven't spoken to you about it, but I was praying about it before we saw you. I was praying and the Lord just dropped Australia into my spirit for Rain International. You see, and I said, God, who's there? So anyway, so we'll talk about that one still. So there's three places that we need to go to, but you know, it costs money to get there. Aeroplane tickets. Not all of us have the faith to use Philip's transport. Do you know Philip's transport? Yeah, Philip was, he was sharing. Yeah, Philip was sharing with the eunuch on that horse and cart or something. And the next moment, he found himself in another town. And I believe in the, I believe that's going to start happening. I believe we now need to believe God for that. In Pretoria, it's actually happened to somebody, but I don't have time to share that. I'll share it with you afterwards. Somebody did, they did that. They went to Smuts Airport. The next moment, they were in the country. But that was about 2 years ago. Eh? Anyway, God says He's going to pour out finances. And since He's been saying that, everything seems to be going wrong. Anybody can identify? Yes, it looks like everything's going wrong. You get prophecies and God says, well, I'm going to bless you financially and you're going to be blessed in the coming in and the going out and you're going to be blessed in every way. You're not going to be the tail, you're going to be the head now and it's going to be wonderful. And what happens? You lose your job. You see? And many times then we sit and we rebuke the devil, but it's actually God trying to get your attention and say, trust me for something better. We rebuke the devil when it's God many times. But anyway, we're not going to discuss that tonight. But when you hear a word like that, what happens? Hallelujah. You know, praise the Lord. We're coming through. Praise God. And it's just not coming through. Why is it not coming through? Because of a lack of knowledge. And that's what Hosea 4 verse 6 says. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. I tell you now that the whole world system is based on money. Finances and usury, which is interest. That's the world system. They've got everybody in that system locked up. And the moment God speaks to you and says to you, I'm going to set you free financially, then what happens? Now we think we're going to do it. We're all excited. Listen, this system has been around for 6,000 years. You're not just going to knock it in the teeth in 5 minutes. You need to find out how to do that. You need to make friends with people like Shirley. So that she can tell you how not to do it. Because I'm sure you can tell us how to put people into bondage financially. Yeah. Proverbs 11 verse 15 says that the borrower is servant to the lender. That's the whole idea behind the world system. They want you to bow your knee to that system. Because once they've got you there, they can tell you what to do. It's how communism works. They make the country poor, and then what do? They tell all these poor people and say, if you all rise up and you go and kill those people over there, we'll feed you. That's what communism has done. It's still happening. Bosnia, all these places, it's happening there. They're going on promises. The people are all poor and they're hungry. And then they say, okay, now if you just go and do this for us, we'll give you a potato each. True. And then they go and stand in the queue for the potato, and then there's only one bag of potatoes to feed 1,000 people, and then they stand there for 3 days, and nobody gets a potato. And then they're even more cross. And then they come along and they say, okay, sorry, we ran out of potatoes, but if you just go and do this for us, you see, with a hungry man, you can do anything. And we all say, oh, well, you know, we'll never bow our knee to the beast and all that kind of stuff. I tell you now, we shouldn't talk that easily. Because if you're tied up into that system, I tell you, you already bowed down to that system. You already are. Okay, our emotions get stirred up and we have a lack of knowledge, so we can't do what God has told us. And what happens? We get discouraged, bent out of shape and say, oh no, this thing doesn't work. And once He's got you there, well, but Jesus didn't die for nothing. The other thing is we don't prosper because we are trying to do the things the world's way. That's why we don't prosper. We try and do it the way the world does it. You hear, you've got to tithe and give offerings. Yeah, but I don't have enough money to do that. But you can't, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give offerings. You cannot not afford to do that. God's kingdom works with certain principles. Just because you're a Christian and you climb onto the roof here and you jump off, do you think you're not going to get hurt? Yes, but the scripture says that the angels will carry me in their hands. If God didn't tell you that personally, then you better not do it. Gravity is gravity. If an aeroplane's wings come off, what happens? It falls to the earth. Because God's word said it. So it's the same in every realm. There's certain principles in the word of God that govern how healing works. Or how you prophesy. Or how the gifts of the Spirit operate. You want to flow in God's prosperity, there are certain laws that govern those things, and we have to obey those laws. with every promise. You can look in Deuteronomy and everywhere else. If you do this and this and this, then I will do this and this. And that's what God says. So who are we to think that, you know, we don't do the conditions of God's word and it's just going to happen. The biggest problem is we're doing it the world's way. Yeah, but how do I buy something? I want to buy a hi-fi. Or a young man wants to buy a car. I remember when I was young and unsaved. I mean, that car was so shiny and smart, that Toyota Corolla, I tell you, I mean, it was like taking candy from a baby when I went to the bank. I just signed on the dotted line, boom. And once I was tied up like that, I couldn't do anything else. I started borrowing. I had to borrow from here and from there and from my parents and whatever, young single man. I had to borrow from my girlfriends to take them out in my smart flashy car with a boom, 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 boom radio in it with a graphic equalizer that I bought from Morkels and was paying off over 2 years. Easy terms. Yes. The world system is there to take your money. There's an advert on television about, Voyager Miles. Yes. And you see these two guys, they meet after a long time, and they're sitting down there to drink coffee, and what happens? They're fighting about who's going to pay with a credit card, right? Because he's going to get Voyager Miles. They've worked it out. They've worked out with the chances of you actually winning one of those prizes and whatever. They've got a whole lot of prizes. It's something like one in a million. It's a big carrot that they dangle on the TV and everyone says, Voyager Miles, yes, I'm going to get Voyager Miles. Walt Disney World, here we come. And it doesn't work like that. Everything that glitters isn't gold. Who's heard that? And it's particularly like that. But what they want your money. You pay interest on that credit card. You pay for every transaction and all sorts of stuff. I mean, you can tell us all about that. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, but we don't have to get it their way. There are other ways. You trust God. And hopefully we'll get to some of that tomorrow. Why do we have to talk about money? You know, some people say, oh, you shouldn't talk about money in the church. Cease. Money is dirty. Cease. What does the Bible say about money? Yes, but there's this, you know, people quote, there's a certain scripture. Money is the what? You know too much. You're not allowed to. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Money isn't the root of all evil. Because there must be an area that's not so rich, right? Okay, we won't name it. But there's an area where people are not so well off. But they love money. You see? They love money. It's because they love money that many of them are poor. Because the moment they get it, they spend it. They go to the horses. If I just put it on the source one more time, eh? And then I is going to win, eh? And guess what? Well, Sun City, yes, let me just get that one arm bandit. Just one more try. And then, boom, the whole salary is gone. And then they hitchhike with the 5-year-old children. You know, they normally have 15 children. And they hitchhike home all the way, and, you know, the whole thing. But they love money, you see. So you can love money even if you're poor. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Because the world system is based on that. Why talk about money? Because more than 50% of the topics that Jesus touched on in the four Gospels concerned money. Have you heard of talents? Talenta? Yeah. Many times we think those talents are the gifts that God's placed within us. Those talents. It's not those talents because you can't take those talents and dig a hole and bury them in the ground. Remember that parable that Jesus told? He gave 5 to the one and 10 to the other one and 2 to the other guy. And then the man went away, and when he came back, they had all done something with their talents. They doubled it or so. But the one guy had buried his talent. And so what did the man say? He says, why didn't you take it to the bank and put it in for some interest? So he said, no, well, I thought you were a hard man. And so on and so on. You can read that. So Jesus speaks about money often. Jesus even sat in the temple and he watched. Remember the story of the old lady, the old widow? He sat there And he watched as the people were putting in, all the rich people, they were putting their money in. And then this old lady came and she put in, what do they call it, a mite or something like that. Like our 1 cent pieces now, tiny little piece of copper. Boom. And he said to the people, this woman has put in more than all of you. So what does God actually look at? Does he look at the amount that you give? No, he looks at your heart and how you give it. If you give it from a pure heart, then you'll receive a great harvest. Ray McCauley tells the story of a man that he counseled one day, and the man didn't have a job. So he prayed for him, and the man got a job the next week. So Ray McCauley said to him, well, I want you to tithe. And he got 100 rand a week or something like that. And he said, then give 10 rand a week. So he gave 10 rand a week. It was easy, and God blessed him. Eventually, he had a whole lot of businesses, and he was... You know, he was giving thousands and thousands. And all of a sudden, he came back to Ray and he said, he's in financial trouble. So Ray said, what's going on? And he counseled with him. And so he found out that he was not tithing anymore. So he said, why aren't you tithing anymore? He says, because my income is now 50,000 rand a month. You know, and 10% on 50,000 is a lot of money. It's still 10%. But you see what was happening. The money was taking a hold of his heart. See, 10% of 100 rand or 10% of 50,000. What's the difference? It's still 10%. So, who owns the money? Do you own the money or does the money own you? Okay. Jesus spoke about money and stewardship in over 50% of the topics that he discussed in the Gospels. Why do we talk about money? Because it costs money to preach the Gospel. It costs money to put petrol in. Cost us money to come from Pretoria to here, right? These brochures that you've got, they cost money. It costs money to run our office, for instance. Praise the Lord, somebody gave us a laser printer recently, and it's worth a couple of thousand rand, but the Lord spoke to them and said, give the printer to them. Our computer equipment was given to us. The fax machine was given to us. Because we trusted God, we prayed. The laser printer, we prayed for 6 weeks. 6 weeks, and somebody found us and said, God spoke to us. But now these people that have given to us, they are people in business. They are ministries of finance. There's people that God has raised up in business to sow into the kingdom. And God is blessing them. The guy that gave us the fax machine and the photocopier, he's making movies at the moment. He started off, it didn't work. I mean, how many years ago was that? 5 years ago. He started off. He didn't have any money. He didn't even have food to start his movies off. But today, he's making commercials and I don't know what else he's doing. And God is blessing him. But he sowed a seed. And we've continued to pray for him over the years. And over the years, he's sowed to us 50 rand and 100 rand. Yeah, and he's just continued sowing. And we've just prayed and we've just agreed with him. Okay, to preach the gospel costs money. Just to live in this world costs money. Petrol, cars, tires, air tickets, food, clothing, Bibles, buildings, the church that you go to. I imagine most of you have been to Rhema. Okay, we're not from there, but everybody knows Rhema Church. You've been there. It's a big auditorium. Okay, do you know how much Ray said that 2 or 3 years ago. Do you know what the electricity bill is just to run it on a Sunday? It's 5,000 rand a Sunday. Yeah, because it's air conditioned, it's the electricity, it's all the stuff that goes on there. It's 5,000 rand, that's the electricity rate. Costs money. There we are. Praise the Lord, and it's wonderful and all that. But we don't think that it costs money to do that. You see. Now, you all have a desire to support the gospel. It's because of these expenses. There's lots more. There's a lot more expenses. It's because of these expenses. You know that it costs money. That's why you want to support it. But why can't you? Because your money's tied up. All right? Okay, let's have a look at where debt comes from. Ever heard of Babylon? Who's heard of Babylon? You've heard of Babylon. Okay. We don't have time to go into the whole Babylon. That'll take us. We can study Babylon for the next year. But before the financial system came into the world, what did they do? If I wanted your chickens, well, how did I get your chickens from you? Barter. That's it. Yes. Okay. I give you 2 bags of beans for 2 of your chickens. Okay? All right. So you still got chickens, so on Sunday, guess what they have? chicken and beans. All right. So I farm with beans, so I go to the brother here. I say, you've got potatoes, haven't you? All right. 3 bags of beans for 2 bags of potatoes. It's a good deal? Nah, nah, nah. 1 bag for 4, you know, and so they wheel and deal until that's how they did it. So some clever guy in Babylon, in the temple there, decided, no ways, we can make money out of this. Inspired by demons, this guy came along and said, okay, I'll tell you what. We'll put a value to everything. Make it so much easier. We'll say a bag of beans is 1 bar of gold. A chicken, 2 bars of gold. Yeah, but they were little. They were little bars in those days. They were tiny bars. But they were little bars anyway. And that's how it started. And it made it easier. And the people said, but that's a lot easier. I don't have to carry all these bags. The people can come to me and they just give me a bar of gold for a bag of beans. And that's how we started off. But what the people didn't realize, that in the whole of Babylon, in the whole economic system of the world at that time, there were only 10 bars of gold. Gee, now Shirley starts to think now, you see. There were only 10 bars of gold. So what did they do? I have to plant beans, and she has to farm chickens. So to be able to farm my beans, I need to buy seeds to plant my beans, isn't it? All right. So I go to Shirley. She's the priestess there in the temple. What's your temple called? Huh? Apsa. Okay. Okay. Her temple is called Apsa. Okay. So anyway, so we go there. She doesn't tell us she's only got 10 bars of gold, see? But she says, okay, I'll give you 5 bars of gold, and I'll give you 5 bars of gold. So there I go. I go to Sissel, and he's the man with the seeds for the beans. And she goes to Leon. Goes to Leon, he's got chicks. All right? But what he doesn't tell her is that they've got Newcastle disease. Because remember now, he's becoming aware of the economy. And he's got to protect his assets. Okay? And all those nice things. So I have a very good crop with my beans. And I go back to the bank. And after I've sold everything, and now I've got 6 bars of gold. Because I've made it back. But because he sold her the 6 chickens, she only made 4 bars of gold. And she's got to pay back her interest now to the bank. Now, when I loaned the money from the bank, Shirley said to each one of us, she gave us each one a bar of gold. She said, okay, 5 bars of gold plus 1 bar interest. All right? Okay, so I made my interest back. So I go back and I'm very chuffed. I'm very proud of myself. And Shirley, yes, 5 bars of gold. And 1 extra for interest. And there, what's your name? Irene. Irene goes to Shirley, I sold some chickens, but I got no gold. Because there is no other gold. The bank's got, there's only 10 in the world, see. And so guess what Shirley does? That's when she was unsaved. She takes Irene and the husband and the kids and the house and the cars and the chickens and the fowl runs, Alice takes everything. And what does she do? She sells it. She sells it to Leon. And Leon says, oh, I got a bargain. It cost me 1/2 a bar of gold. You know what they did in the old days? They made those people slaves. That's where slavery comes from, by the way. Slavery didn't come when black people were taken from Africa and made slaves in America. Slavery started like that. That's how slaves originated. People couldn't pay their debts and they were sold. You read it in the Bible. You can read it in the Old Testament. People were sold as slaves because they couldn't pay their debts. That's how it started. And then Shirley decides one day, well, you know, this little economy of ours is really, it's really working well. I've got to devise a plan. So she's one of those temple priestesses there and she's praying to Dagon or whoever, Baal or something like that. And the demon speaks to her. Not really, eh? I'm only playing. This is only an example. And the demon says to her, well, I tell you what, you make clay tablets, little images that look like the bars of gold. Okay? And now what does the gold become now? We hear the Reserve Bank talk about the what? The gold reserve. Okay? The paper money that we have, the paper money we have is a representative of the gold that we have. But South Africa only has so much gold. So there comes more people, and they all want more jobs, and what do they do? They print more money. But there's only so much gold at the Reserve Bank. So what happens to that paper money? Less value. You see? And that's what Shirley does. She's got these little clay tablets now, and they've actually found them. In the history books and stuff. I remember when I was at school, we studied history, and they found little clay tablets and stuff, which was a type. It was a copy of those gold bars. And so now everybody's buying and selling, and Irene is slaving away there, and her children are sold into slavery, and she's not going to see them for 50 years. And yeah, because it was the 50 years before the year of Jubilee. Yes, yeah, they did. And that's what happened. And Shirley's sitting there, she doesn't tell the rest of us, I've only got 10 bars of gold, but she's turning them out, 100, 200 clay tablets. Come and make a loan. And that's how the thing works. And every time somebody borrows money from her, what happens? She charges interest. So the gold becomes worth less and less and less. And that's how the world system is working. That's why the prices are just going up and up and up. It can never go down. And that's not how God designed the thing. If you go and study Deuteronomy and those scriptures, I'll give you a copy of my notes afterwards. You can go and make photostats of it. God said we must not pay usury. If your brother comes to you and says, lend me 1,000 rand, then you give the 1,000 rand to him, not expecting it back. If he gives it back to you, then he gives it back to you. If you can't give him 1,000 rand, and you say to him, I can only give you 200 rand and I don't want it back, you can read it in the scripture. That's what he wants us to do. He says, if the poor comes to you, then give to them. Otherwise, they're going to get angry with you and there's going to be bad friends. But there's nothing worse than being bad friends for not paying a debt back. So if your brother comes to you and says, I am in need, can you lend me 1,000 rand? You say, I don't lend money, I give money. Don't pay it back. If you pay it back, fine, but I'm not going to expect you to pay it back. Maybe this is a little bit anal. But God knew when he wrote the book, the Bible, which is our handbook to run the human life, he knew what he was saying. Amen? He knew what he was doing. He knew that if we were indebted to one another, it would cause bad friends. Bad friendships. All right. The world system is designed to bring people into bondage and slavery. Proverbs 22 verse 7. You want to look it up quickly?
The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender.
All right. We've been quoting that scripture already. Nehemiah 5, verse 1 to 4.
Now there arose a great cry of the poor people and of their wives driven to borrowing against their Jewish brethren, the few who could afford to lend. For some said, we, our sons and daughters, are many. Therefore allow us to take grain that we may eat and live. If we are not given grain, let us take it. Also some said, we are mortgaging our lands, vineyards and houses to buy grain because of the scarcity. Others said, we have borrowed money on our fields and vineyards to pay the Persian king's heavy tax.
Does it sound like something that's happening in our day? They're mortgaging their land to pay the taxes. I mean, that's a bad situation. But how many times have we been in a situation like that? I remember 3 or 4 years ago, we were in a situation like that. Not because of our fault. Annika had somebody do her tax for her, and he didn't do it properly. So it wasn't calculated correctly, and so we got a nice summons from the receiver of revenue, and it took a long time before we could pay it off. And we had to borrow to pay that off. So we paid interest on the tax because it was late. We paid a fine on the tax, plus we paid interest because we borrowed it from the bank, basically, to pay that. So say it was 1,000 rand. We probably paid double. And that's what the world system is designed to do. It's designed to take your money from you. To keep you at a place where you just make it every month. Just make it every month. You just make it every month. And that's not a good place to be. Most of us say, yeah, I like that, isn't it? Well, next month maybe it's going to be better. The next month comes and wham, the car breaks. Well, praise the Lord. Next month's going to be better. And then one of the kids cleans the freezer compartment of the fridge. And then what do? They stick a little hole in the thing and you hear and all the gas comes out. It costs you 350 rand to put new gas in. Well, maybe next month. And then Annika phones on the cell phone and says, listen, I've got a flat tire and the spare is also flat. And well, I told you to put new tires on. Yeah, but we didn't have money. No, that happened a long time ago. But it did happen. I mean, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? God doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to live abundantly. Another reason why people are in debt is because they become security for someone else. Has anybody ever signed surety or security for somebody? If you go and sign at the bank, what is you? They say, bring your man, bring somebody with. And did you regret it? You did. For sure, yes. Yes. Well, what happens if you sign security for somebody's house or a fat loan from the bank or something and they die or something happens? Who pays it? The person that signed surety. The Bible strictly forbids signing surety. A lot of the problems that people are involved in today is because of that. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 1 to 3 says,
my son, if you have become security for your neighbor, if you have given your pledge for a stranger or another, you are snared with the words of your lips, you are caught by the speech of your mouth. Do this at once and earnestly, my son, and deliver yourself when you have put yourself into the power of your neighbor. Go, bestir and humble yourself and beg your neighbor to pay his debt and thereby release you.
You hear that? He says, immediately go and deliver yourself. Immediately go and deliver yourself. Get out of that. Proverbs 22 verse 26 to 29 says the following.
Be not one of those who strike hands and pledge themselves, or of those who become security for another's debt. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take your bed from under you? Remove not the ancient landmarks which your father have set up. Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men.
You see, it says that a man that's diligent will stand before kings. That's after he said, don't be security for somebody. If you stand security for somebody, you're disobeying the word of God and you're opening the door wide for the evil one to come and steal from you. Okay? Why are we in debt? Because the world system is designed to bring us into that. Why are we in debt? Because we become security for others. Why are we in debt? Because we disobey the word of God. Deuteronomy 15, verse 4 to 8.
But there will be no poor among you, for the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance to possess. If only you carefully listen to the voice of the Lord your God to do watchfully all these commandments which I command you this day. When the Lord your God blesses you as he promised you, then you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And you shall rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you. If there is among you a poor man, one of your kinsmen, in any of the towns of your land, which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not harden your minds and hearts or close your hands to your poor brother, but you shall open your hands wide to him and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks.
Did you all hear that? You shall lend, but you shall not borrow. It's an instruction. It's a command not to do that. If we disobey that, then we're opening the door to be stolen from. Chapter 23, verse 19 and 20.
You shall not lend on interest to your brother, interest on money, on victuals, or anything that is lent for interest. You may lend on interest to a foreigner, but to your brother you shall not lend on interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all that you undertake in the land to which you go to possess it.
Who's the foreigner that it talks about there? Before Jesus, we were foreigners. We were what they call Gentiles. So they would have lent money to us and they would have charged us interest. But now we are in Christ Jesus. And that means to our brothers, we will not charge interest. I've been charged interest by some of my brothers. I didn't know better, and I'm sure he didn't know any better. And to this day, our relationship is not very good. We're not on such good speaking terms. We're not enemies, but it's uncomfortable. Yes, the world system, the people in the world, they expect to be paid interest or charged interest, so they just pay it because they're nothing of ours. But our brothers, we shouldn't charge interest. And we shouldn't pay interest to the world because that's money that belongs to God. Right. Now, they're all sitting here. They're all full of condemnation. All feel terrible and bad because, because it's been pointed out you are all sinners now. You've all sinned. You're all in debt. All you do is you go to God and you confess your sin and say, Lord, I didn't know that I'm not allowed to be in debt. And then you start somewhere. And that's what we're going to do. You got to start somewhere. Okay, and we'll be finished shortly in about 10 minutes or so. Where do you start? At the start, at the beginning. All right? You go back and you start writing down your needs and your debts and all that. I can guarantee you 99% of you who sit here can't tell me exactly how much debt you have plus the interest that you're paying on it. Is anybody here can do it? Not even the bank lady can do it. Yeah, but you're married to the preacher, man. You can't, he teaches you all this stuff. So most people can't even tell you that. So that's what you got to go and do. You got to go and take stock of your life because you got to start somewhere. Okay? You got to start somewhere. In Luke chapter 6 from verse 45 to 49, we read the parable. Jesus tells the parable of the two guys who's going to build a house. You all know that? And the one guy builds on the sand, and the other guy builds on the rock. And he says, when the storm comes, which one's going to stand? The one on the rock. And the one that's on the sand, it says, great is the fall of that one. It says, great is the fall of that. But go and read that scripture again. It says, the one that built on the rock, he said, he dug deep. What said it, Sizzle? He dug deep, yeah. Yeah. He first dug deep until he got to the rock. A proper foundation. Now, who's that rock signifying? Jesus, the rock. Do we actually see a rock? Well, what does that mean? It means the Word. Yeah, so you find out what the Word says. And that's what you build on. Because then your house will not fall. Because if you build on sand, the fall of your house is going to be great. So you got to start somewhere. You got to lay the foundation again. You got to start digging again. You got to start finding out the promises of God. Take these notes. Buy the tape and listen to it until you understand. Relay the foundation from the start. Go back. Write it all down. Write all the debts down. Your needs every month. How much salary do you have? And how do you get yourself out of debt if you haven't got enough? You start by honoring God first. What does Matthew 6 verse 33 say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But then you say to me, yeah, but I can't even afford to give my tithe. Well, you can't afford not to give your tithe. But God is gracious because now the revelation of the Word has come to you. Now you're starting at the beginning. So you say, God, look, I've got to pay 300 rand tithe, but I can afford to pay 20 rand. And that's what you then do. You say, God, I want to give my full tithe, plus I want to get free. My vision is to be able to freely give to the work of the kingdom and have no debt, to owe no man anything but to love them. All right? So, but you got to start somewhere. So then what you do, if you're married, you get together with your husband and you say, okay, we've got 50 rand a month that we're going to give to God. And that's what you start doing. You pray over that money. Don't let them just pray over the offering at the church. Have you heard some of those prayers? Oh, Lord, please give us wisdom to use this money wisely. Thank you very much. Amen. They don't even pray that sometimes. Yeah, it's a nice little prayer. What I'm saying is take that money and worship God with it and pray that money through until you have a release in your spirit. Lay hands on that money and say, Father, we're sowing this into your kingdom. You pray and you pray in tongues until there's a release in your spirit. And you say, fine, I thank you, Lord, that there's now a release on this money. And then you go and give it. If you don't have faith, get somebody to come and agree with you. We've been in this situation before, and now there's a fear. You know, you all have recognized that fear. Lord, if I give my 300 tithe this month, oh, I can't do that. I can't. There's a fear that grips you. And you think, but then I can't pay my other debts. What you do is you sit with the Lord and you say, Lord, lead me in this. Give me wisdom in this. And then the Lord says, 80 rand. And then you have peace in your heart. When you have peace in your heart, you can give with faith. But you can't give 300 rand if there's fear in your heart. Remember, God looks at your heart. Because if you remember what Job said, the thing that he feared came upon him. Remember that? So if you giving your 300 rand, oh, praise God, I'm giving my 300 rand, but there's fear in your heart that you're not going to make it at the end of the month, then you must watch out that that which you're fearing will not come on you. Rather give the 80 rand where your faith is and start giving that in faith. And then when the devil comes and knocks on your door and says, oh, you're not going to make it at the end of the month, then you say, well, I gave that 80 rand and my heart was at peace and God has seen me and God has heard me and I've prayed that money through and he's going to bring a harvest on that. And that's where you start. Don't let people put you now into bondage and say, well, you've got to give your tithe, you've got to give your tithe. What's it? 2 Corinthians 9. It says you must give as your purpose in your own heart. So give as your purpose in your own heart. And don't just give just because you want to give now. Give with a purpose. Name your seed. A farmer doesn't just plant mealies and then think there's going to be beans that's going to come. Mealies obey the law of Genesis, which means every seed produces after its kind. So if he plants mealies, what's he going to expect? Mealies. Now, you can sow money because money is a universal thing. You can sow it for anything. So you take your money, your 80 rand, and you say, Father, I call this seed, my debt is paid. So you sow your seed and you say, my debts are paid, and that's the seed. Halfway through the month, when you're eating baked beans, and the devil says, you're not going to make it. You're going to have baked beans for the rest of the year. You say, I have sown a seed and it's called, I am debt free. Now don't ask me how that works in the spiritual world. All I know is that God takes that seed and he multiplies it back to you. And that's what you hold on to. And you hold on to it. I am debt free. You call those things which are not as though they are. I am debt free. I am debt free. In the meantime, you don't just go and spend willy-nilly your money either. You work a plan. And you do what you must do. You cut a little bit here and there to get your debts paid off. And you trust God. And you'll see what God will do. He will open the doors for you. The way we worship is the way that we give. Giving is worship. The way you give is the way you worship. Aina. That's sore, isn't it? You want to see how true a person's worship is. They can stand in front of the church and they can jump up and down and roll on the floor and laugh and all that stuff until somebody says, okay, we're going to take an offering now. And then you see where their heart is. Because then the worship was just a show. It's very quiet in this Presbyterian church. The way you worship is the way you give. Jesus looks at the heart. John 4:24 says that he's looking for what? Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is truth? What does that truth mean? It's practical. It's living out the word. Not only in spirit, you've got to live it out. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom. All right? Don't seek first the things and then the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and then the things. Seek to honor him. The other thing we must do is we must repent of our worldly ways and beliefs concerning finances. I can bet you now, I'm going to ask you a question. You can be honest here. All of us have had thoughts that said, financially, I will always just make it every month. Is anybody here that's never had that thought? Most of us have that thought. Financially, I'll always just make it. I will always just earn enough to make it every month. I'll never have more than enough. You don't verbalize it. You don't say it to your wife or your friends or whatever. But it's in your head. Say, yeah, that is so. It's true. Yes. There's this thing in the pit of your stomach, and you think about the end of the month, and you say, and you see 2,000 rand or whatever it is. You see that, and you say, wow, that's how it's going to be. Always just going to get there. Always just going to get there. I will never get a job that's going to pay me thousands and thousands. I will never drive a smart car. I will never be able to live in a big house. Secret unuttered thoughts. And you think about them, and you think about them, and you think about them, and they're there. Those are ungodly beliefs. You've got to go and sit down with God and write those things down and repent of them before the Lord. Say, Lord, I've been thinking this since I was small. I will never achieve much. I will never achieve much as a career. I will never anything. I will never preach the gospel like Kenneth Copeland does. That's an ungodly belief. It's a lie from the devil. You need to repent for going into debt, and you must make a decision to get out of debt. Romans 13 verse 8 says, owe no man anything but to love them. You go and pray, you write the stuff down, and you pray and say, Lord, I want to owe man anything but to love them. You can love them by giving them finances and not having to worry and say, oh, you know, I'm going to be short this month. Repent of your debt and then start somewhere. How do you start? Like I said, start where you are. Many people say they don't know how or where to minister. Everybody believes that they have some kind of ministry, isn't it? Everybody, come, stick your hands up. You all believe that you've got some kind of ministry. But how many of you actually are walking in a ministry? And you think, no, my life is not as effective as I think it should be, as you know it should be. Do you know, you want to be in the ministry? From tonight, you can be in the ministry. You want to be in the ministry tonight? Tonight. Within the next 5 minutes, you can be in the ministry. All of you here. Easy. You got to start somewhere. Every minister of the gospel started somewhere. I started like that. She started like that. You got to start somewhere. Maybe you're in a church where your gift is not really recognized. And you say, ach, well, it'll never happen. It'll start tonight. Tell you how. Very easy. Because that's how you're going to get out of debt. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 to 5. What does it talk about there? The first verse says that we must pray for all men. Who must pray for all men? Everybody here must pray for all men. Okay, that includes the woman, obviously. Have you got men and women in your church? Do you have a pastor in your church? Then start praying for them on a daily basis. The moment you do that, you're in the ministry. And you're on your way out of debt. And you're on your way into your true ministry. No ministry. There's no ministry without prayer. I can tell you that. No ministry without prayer. The ministry that you see here that we're doing tonight is the overflow of our ministry unto the Lord. Reinhard Bonnke said that as well. He said without his prayer closet ministry unto the Lord, there would be no big tent revivals. Because the tent revivals are the overflow of his relationship with God. So cultivate your relationship with God. Start praying for all men. You start praying. He'll tell you who to pray for. And the second way you can enter the ministry is by giving. What can you give? Well, I don't have money to give. Well, go and give some love. Go give some hugs to somebody. Go lay hands on somebody for their healing. Go and visit an old person somewhere and says, Tani, I'm coming to visit you. Give something. Give what you can. And God will multiply it back to you. God will multiply the seed back to you. That's ministry. Kenneth Copeland is one of the greatest givers that I know of. And I have some of his first brochures when he started his ministry, basically. You know what? His motto was, you don't hear it so often now, but it's still, the principle is still the same. Living to give. It's living to give. I don't know how many tape cassettes and stuff we've gotten from that ministry, which we didn't pay for, just because we wrote to them and then they sent two or three cassettes in the mail, and it's a gift from them to us. The magazine that we get from Kenneth Copeland, month after month, a beautiful, glossy, Believer's Voice of Victory. How much you pay for it? Nothing. Do you know how many he sends out per month of those magazines? He now sends out 800,000 of them free of charge. He lives by faith. Their TV bills are astronomical. You can't even begin to think the money that they have to pay for the TV channels right across the world that they have. It's a whole economy on its own, man. And they believe God for it. If he can do it, I can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. Jesus lived by faith. Start giving. Kenneth Copeland's got a fancy jet airplane. 4 engines and the whole thing. You know how many airplanes he's given away? He's given away 3 or 4 over the years. He's given them away. God says, give it to that ministry. He says, Lord, but I haven't got a plane. He says, Lord says, give the plane away. Somebody else gives him a bigger plane. The one that he's been believing for. And we've seen that. Most of my clothing, by the way, is what's been given to me. And it's not second-hand stuff. It's new stuff. I give away clothing, suits, and whatever. I give good quality away. I don't give rubbish away. And guess what? More arrives on my doorstep. And then we take what we need and we give the rest away. And then more arrives. I don't think we've bought clothes for... We don't buy clothes. We just get given clothes, new clothes. I mean, this is muy claro. I like this. So start giving. In Acts chapter 10, verse 4... There's that rich man, and the angel comes to him, and he's busy worshiping God. Now he's a Roman minister or something. And the angel comes to him and says, Cornelius, the Lord has seen your giving, and he has heard your prayers. They've come up as a memorial before me. Was he a believer? He wasn't a believer yet. He wasn't a believer. So here God sends an angel to an unbeliever because he's giving and because he's praying. Now how much more for his children? Please, how much more for his children? We start giving and we start praying as a ministry and say, Lord, this is a ministry. I'm in the ministry from today, Lord. I'm going to bless my boss today. Lord, in my natural self, he's the biggest jerk under the sun. But I'm going to go there and I'm going to smile at him and I'm going to tell him how wonderful he is. That's giving. Start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Who do I pray for and who do I give to? Start with your church. Pray for the pastor. Start giving faithfully into the church. And then find... The second thing you do is find an itinerant ministry. Do you know what an itinerant ministry is? A ministry that goes from church to church, like us. One that's reputable, one that's not flaky. And start praying for them and start giving to them. Start sowing your seeds into that ministry. We have people that pray for us regularly. I know you guys pray for us and support us financially. But the vision is always growing bigger. The vision is growing bigger and bigger. So there's always greater needs and more prayer and more finances needed. Find a ministry. I'm not saying support us. We'd love you to. We wouldn't say no if you did. But find another, apart from your church. Support your church in prayer and finances and find a traveling ministry, a missionary, or somebody who's in Australia or something like that. And pray for them and send them money. Yeah, but how much can I? You know, I can only afford. Ach, no, I don't want. I can only give 5 rand. Let me tell you something. My spiritual dad, when he came out of debt, was the same thing. He gave his tithes to his church, but he had nothing else to give. So he gave 1 rand. No, he was still in America then. He gave $1 per month to Kenneth Hagin. Now the bank charges on the check was more than what the check was worth. But he was faithful. He gave $1 per month to Kenneth Hagin's ministry. You all know of Kenneth Hagin? Yeah, he gave $1 per month. Then it became $10. Then it became thousands of dollars. But he was faithful in that. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. Start somewhere. And I believe that God will release you. I know it's been a long session. How do you get rid of your debt practically? Okay, we've said you start praying, you start giving. But practically, what you do is this. You write all your debts down. And then you arrange them from the largest one to the smallest one. Okay? So say you've got your house at the top, and then there's a car at the thing, and then there's a hi-fi, and then there's this, and that's the other thing, to the smallest one. And you're paying a payment on each one of those, isn't it? Okay. So what you do, you take the smallest one, and you pay extra money on the smallest one. So you pay it off quicker. Instead of paying 2 years on your Morkel's little radio or whatever, ghetto blaster or whatever they call those things. Instead of paying 2 years, you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you to pay that thing off in 6 months. The moment you start trusting God like that, it won't take 6 months. It'll take 3 months. Some friends of ours who came for counseling at the beginning of last year, we told them the same advice. They were 25,000 rand in debt. When they got married, they were in debt. We've been walking with them. They were both without work for the first year of their marriage. They made it through. When they look back, they can't tell you how, but they made it through. Then he got a job at the beginning of last year. And he said, we're 25,000 rand in debt, and it's just growing. The interest is just eating it up. We told them, largest debt to smallest debt. So that's what they did. They prayed, they repented, they started paying off the small one. When did they pay it off? They paid the last 100 rand off in December. They paid it off. He lost that job that he had at the beginning of the year after 3 months. Eh? And he was without work until September. She had a baby in the meantime. She was also without work. So they made it through. Plus they paid the 25,000 rand. They paid the rent on their flat. Only God did it. I don't know how they did it. But God opened doors for them. And finance came in. We counseled them. And they paid the debts off from the smallest to the largest. So when the small one was paid, now remember they paid the payments on every other one still. When the small one was paid, they didn't say, well, now we've got money, now we can go and buy popcorn and go to the movies. They didn't do that. They took that money, they put it on the next one, on the next debt. And they trusted the Lord to pay extra on that one. And then it just started snowballing. Boom, 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 boom. Now, for people that were without work, it's amazing. They paid the hospital bills for to have the child and everything like that. They put petrol in their car and they did whatever they did. And they came to us, and we the itinerant ministry that they sow into. And some months when they came, I mean, it was like a bottle full of coins. I mean, I used to sit, because we keep accurate records, we write out a receipt and everything like that. And I sit and I count, you know, and it's 73 rand, 76 cents, you know. And I write it all down, and then I've got this whole bundle of, and we would pray over that. We would pray over that for them. And they would trust God, and they've come through. She's got a wonderful job now. She's a jeweler. She's starting to get work in for the jewelry and all that. 100 rand they paid off in December. And guess what? I think it was in the middle of December. They got 3,600 rand back from a tax. They never expected it. 3,600 rand. They didn't have a freezer. Guess what he did? He went to Game. And he walked in there. Said, I want that fridge. And I want a discount. And he flashed his money around there, and the guy said, yes sir, how much discount would you like? You see, when you've got cash, you've got power. If you're indebted to the bank, the bank's got power over you. And I said to him, remember that feeling that you had when you hauled out that cash and put it down. That fridge was yours. It's your owner. You didn't owe it for the next 3 years and it belonged to the bank store. Remember that feeling. And now what they're doing, they're not doing anything like that. They know what it feels like to be in debt, but they've had that taste of being debt-free. They are still debt-free. They trust in God. We trust in God with them. There's many other people that we've counseled and walked with. And it is possible. Is it easy? It's not easy, no. But it can be done. And once you take up the challenge from God, guess what? God's going to bless you because He wants you to help other people and set them free. I'm telling you now, the knowledge that you have from tonight, God's going to bring people across your path. And you'll be able to help them. God wants the church debt free. Why? So that we can go and preach the gospel. What are the Muslims busy doing here in this country? They're winning thousands and thousands of people. Why? Because they're paying for medical facilities and they're paying. They're doing that. Then they're doing it cash. The money's coming from Iraq and Iran and all those places. Better wipe this off this tape. But anyway. But it's true. And they're winning the people. And they're winning ignorant people. People that don't know any better. But I can tell you something. The same way that the communists got it right. If a man is hungry, he can tell you to do anything and you'll do it for him. If somebody's hungry and he says, believe in Allah and I will pay your house bill for you, what will you do? Okay, I'll bow down. John 10 verse 10 says what? The thief comes but to steal, to kill and destroy. But I have come to give you what? Life in abundance or more abundantly. We need to live in that. Amen.